To be pampered is to be treated with excessive attention, and that's just what you'll get at Shim Salon Spa, named Salon of the Year by Modern Salon Magazine. With over 20 years of experience pampering and beautifying the Low Country, Lori and her team focus on the needs of each client. Shim Salon Spa is a full-service boutique offering the latest in color and artistic hair creations for women and men. You can enjoy a massage, pedicure, and manicure in the most innovative and most relaxing spa experience anywhere. Renew and reinvent yourself. Located at 506 Live Oak Drive in Mount Pleasant, behind Page's Okra Grill. Call Shim Salon Spa today at 843-606-2506 or visit the website at Shim, that's S-H-E-M, salonspa.com. Call them today, 843-606-2506.
You're listening to the Bob Charles Show right here in Charleston, South Carolina. Sorry about the little delay, but, you know, things happen even in the radio business. But then again, look at what happens on the other side of the whole thing. We got some great people coming up for the rest of the day. And we're also going to have to reschedule a couple of people, but hey, we're doing the best we can. What I'd like to do is I'd like to tell you a little bit about this guest. Drake Bear Stephen, shamanic energy medicine, Reiki master, hypnotherapy, past life regression, reincarnation journeys, and somatic healing. Wow. Drake is a hypnotherapist who specializes in guiding people on journeys to their past lives, their future lives, and lives between lives. He has traveled in Peru and Mexico with shamans. Shaman energy medicine healing includes soul retrievals, energy, energetic, and entity extractions, meridian tapping, repairing, maintaining the aura chakras and energy channels. Rituals, rites, and ceremony includes many. These energize you and your home, your office, even your vehicle. Ceremonial crafts and mojo bags, medicine bags, wands, spirit sticks, dressed candles, sacred herbs, oil, fire, throw, prayer ties. Unbelievable. Feel kinetic and connected to spirit and nature. Hypnotherapy gives emotional release, clearing root causes of trauma, addictions, and phobias. May I introduce the man himself, Drake Bear Stephen. Drake.
Yes.
Hey, you're there.
Hello. I am here.
I tell you something, we died for an hour, so, you know, that's the way that went.
Oh, no.
You know how the radio business is. Just like the radio and the television and everything else, like CNN the other day, and it was showing something from the Middle East, and all of a sudden it died, and they said, oops. So, I mean, you know, things go on. You never know what's going on.
It must be that Mercury in retrograde right now.
You know, I tell you something. From what I had, from all the things that I read, you know, about what you do and things, you must know a lot about that.
Well, I try to stay connected to energy. I think it's the thing that binds all of us. our individual cells as well as our cells to everything in the universe.
Yeah, well, I have my crystal skull in my pocket right now as we speak. So trust me, I am so connected to energy. It's unbelievable. All right, so you do hypnotherapist work in past lives. That's a fantastic field. I mean, you must talk to a lot of people and bring a lot of people back to times that they never knew they came from.
Yeah, I really equate it to being an armchair traveler of the universe, because in working with people, you know, and doing past life journeys, we never know what age we're going to go to or what place in the universe, maybe not even on this planet, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Well, how about where it says, and I did read this in the original intro, the part life between life.
Yes, the life between lives is actually my favorite part of, well, most often it's called past life regression, but I don't really like to use the word regression, because you can actually visit a future life, which would be a progression, and you can visit the life between lives, which is actually that space or that energetic dimension that we live in when we're not physically incarnated in a body. And so there are, like, many, many things that are happening on that plane. And typically that's where you'll go in your session if you want to know, you know, overall things associated with your soul's purpose, your life purpose, where you are on your path in this lifetime, what your next step should be on your path. And so there's quite a few fascinating places that you can visit in the between lives. You will also, you know, have the opportunity to meet your soul group, to meet members in there, to meet your personal guide, to meet with a council of elders that has the wisdom of the universe, or to visit the Akashic Records, even to go to a hall where you can be healed and refreshed. So there's many different activities that take place there, and it's very enlightening. In fact, that's my experience, my personal experience, is what really turned me on to this whole thing. As I, of course, read in Journey of Souls by Michael Newton about the between lives, and I thought, oh, I have to have this experience.
Yeah, you say, like, it's never going to happen to me, man.
And I had an amazing experience. I was actually hypnotized for 5 hours, and I didn't even believe that. When I had recorded it on my laptop, and I thought I was gone like an hour, and when the therapist said 5 hours, I go, oh, no, it's not possible. And then I looked at the recording time, and it was 5 hours. But the experience was so amazing, and it so impacted my life, because when I came back, I was so focused, knowing, you know, what my purpose is, knowing what things are no longer important. I could let those slide by, and I could just focus on, you know, the reasons that I'm here and what I'm supposed to be working on. And it just was such an impact that I was like, oh, I have to learn how to do this.
Yeah, I would say. And you already had the Reiki experience by that time.
Yes, I did.
And,
I was already doing that.
Right, you were already being a shaman.
Yes, I was. And I was like, well, to me, this was the missing piece, you know, learning the hypnotherapy, because it's really just a way to relax people into this, like, altered state where they can bring up memories from the unconscious. And it was the missing piece that I had in my practice.
You know, it's funny, though. You talk about the 1 hour that took 5 hours. I had an NDE myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my experience took 30 days.
30 days?
I woke up in 30 days, yeah.
Wow.
So,
I mean, you must have traveled a lot of places.
No. It was, I mean, I'm serious. You know, when people say that, you know, time as we know it doesn't really exist, they are so correct.
Oh, it is, and I've actually been kind of studying that, trying to grasp the concept, because it's so difficult for us when we're incarnated, because, you know, in our belief system, it's time is linear, and one thing happens sequentially to the next thing.
Right.
And in shamanism, you pretty much learn that time is a cycle, it's a circle or a wheel, the medicine wheel, and it goes round and round. But on the other side, there is really no such thing as time. Time is really more like a frequency, so that you could actually be living all of your lives concurrently at the same time. But the way that they're separated, if you will, is by the frequency that they're vibrating at. So your future life is vibrating so quickly that we're not in touch with it, and the past is vibrating slower than where we are in the present, so we're not in touch with it unless we focus, you know, into a certain channel, if you will, like listening to the radio. We tune into a specific channel, and then we can actually see it and deal with it. So when you start thinking of time as a vibration instead of a linear sequence, then you can understand how a lot of phenomena that isn't explainable becomes explainable. I think this is what quantum physics is doing now, is bringing all this to our consciousness.
Yeah, I was also going to say that the quantum physics wouldn't touch it a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden, they got everybody thinking about it now, because, like, hey, listen, it's getting acceptable. Wonder where that came from.
Really?
Yeah, and what you were talking about before that with the circle, I was actually thinking about it. Maybe it was on your mind, maybe it was on mine, I don't know. But when I was coming here in the car, I was thinking about all the guests and, you know, and things that we're going to talk about. And one of the things that you just said was about the time and the circle of the time. And I wrote a song back in 1965, 66 in that ballpark somewhere, and it was called Life is a Circle. And it was about, at that time, I wrote the song, and it was about you being in one spot and time working around you. You never really move.
Oh, and see
time does.
How wise you were at that time?
That was 1965, 1966. And from all I had read about you and everything you did, which is totally blew me out of the water in some cases, because you like your Mexico and Peru, and those are two places. Mexico I've been to a few times, and you know I've been to the pyramids and everything. And in fact, the person that wrote you, she stood at the bottom of one of them. So I mean, we've been there. The other part was Peru, which one of these days, Ned, I hope to make a little side strip to, because there's probably a blue crystal skull that's over there that's looking my way, that's telling me come and find me, but I haven't been there yet.
Oh yeah, absolutely, that has to be on your list of things to do.
Yeah, that's
towards the top.
That's the what do they call that, bucket list? Yeah, the bucket list. Yeah, it's not on that, because I'm not going to die. I don't want that stuff before I die. I want it while I'm still breathing.
Well, you would say you want that in this incarnated life.
Yes, yes, yes. That's something that I have to do in this one.
Not that I haven't done
it before.
When you go to Peru, it has an energetic impact on you. It changes you, and in ways that language isn't even applied to. It just has an impact on your soul.
And boy, when you were there, Annette, where did you go?
Well, traditionally I go to Cusco, which is the heart or the capital of the Inca world. And there in that area is called the Sacred Valley, and there are so many sacred sites there that you can visit. And so one end of the valley is Cusco, the city, and the other end is Machu Picchu.
And
so
that
a traditional tour would be to start in Cusco and then make your way through the valley, visiting these different Inca sites and ending up at Machu Picchu.
But these are all high energy spots.
Very high energy and very high altitude too. So the combination, and it's probably no accident that the energy is so high at that elevation, but the combination of the two, and then traveling and seeing the country and being with the indigenous people is just an amazing experience.
And something else I got out of it too, and I think they're on ley lines too.
Yes, Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, in Peru, they also have the Nazca.
Right.
Things as well. So there's a lot of energetic stuff happening there. And to me, it's the polar opposite of the Himalayas, the Tibetan culture and all that. And you can see in some of the dress and some of the words and the theories and the ideas that they're very similar. And you're like, how could this be when 5,000 years ago, supposedly, there was no way to travel from one side of the world to the other?
Ha. But you can now.
Yeah, you can now, or you could have if you had a UFO in those days.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's kind of my out of my area of expertise.
Yeah, but you know what? I tell you something. When you were talking about the NASCAR area, that is one place that, I mean, I've been watching that or seeing that in books forever. I mean, ever since I was a kid. And, you know, back then, you know, they said, oh, well, you know, these Indians made these pictures on the ground. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure they did. But, and even back then, I didn't believe half of the theories that I was being taught in school. Maybe I shouldn't have been in school. You know, because I think I came out, if I didn't go to school, I'd come out smarter. But to tell you the truth, I mean, just reading, I mean, will make you smart. So you don't have to really, really go and listen to somebody tell you something that they don't know what they're talking about either. But, you know, just like NASCAR, I would love to where that one part is now that looks like a runway on top of a mountain. That one place, I'd love to stand in the middle of it.
Oh, and absorb the energy.
I don't know about absorbing the energy, but I want to stand ground level and look in a 360 and see, like, okay, what were these guys looking for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there had to be some reason, because if you look at a picture of it from a satellite or something, there's nothing there. Just a nice picture on the ground. You know, that's about it. But they're actually digs. They're like dugout ground. So that, and it was made so that you can only see it from the sky. From what I was told, you can't see it when you're on the ground.
Yeah, which is also similar to crop circles as well, right? That phenomena that you can't figure it out from the ground.
Exactly, and we're talking about that all the time. So when you were in Peru, did you do any shaman work there?
Well, we do work with the shamans there. The ones that we work with are the Caro, which were the advisors, the spiritual advisors to the Incas like 500 years ago. And when the Spaniards came in to Peru, they went into the high mountains. And for all those years, they pretty much stuck to themselves and so were never assimilated into the culture. And then about 25, 30 years ago, they began to get these communications that they needed to come down out of the high Andes to connect with people in North America. And it was necessary to begin to train some people in North America to follow their energetic, actually their belief system is like energetic medicine, and to begin to learn that and follow it to help raise the consciousness of the planet. And so that's what they do. And so when you go down there and, you're connected in with the right people, then they do ceremony with you. They also transmit energetic rites into your body, which are energetic seeds that can begin to grow and help you, be connected to their lineage, but as well as has the energetic healing effects as well.
Yeah, one of the quotes, I believe. I'm going to quote this, and if I'm wrong, you can get mad at me later.
Okay.
But it said, the shaman is a self-reliant explorer of the endless mansions of a magnificent hidden universe.
Well, truly, that is absolutely correct. In other words, the shaman really is the type of person that walks between the worlds.
Yeah.
And there's this whole cosmology of there's ordinary reality and then there's non-ordinary reality. And the non-ordinary worlds are like what they call the lower world and the upper world. And these are different dimensions, energetic dimensions, that the shaman will journey to in order to get wisdom or to find out information, to do diagnostic journeys if they're going to be working with a client. And there's all types of wisdom that can be gotten from these places. So the shaman's basic, there's all different cultures of shamans all around the world, but the core belief is that there's these three separate worlds. And the world we live in is called the middle world. So there's three worlds, and that the shaman has the ability to travel between those worlds.
You know, talking about that, this also has to do with shamanic energy medicine, this is something like a crossover between Reiki and shamanism.
Yes, and truly, Reiki is a form of energy medicine. It actually came from Tibet, even though it was founded by a Japanese doctor and then handed down through the ages. So it is a form of energy medicine. And the Caro, and that's why I'm so drawn to Peruvian shamanism from the Andes, because their beliefs are all very much associated with energy medicine per se. And so not all shamans are into energy medicine, and not all energy medicine practitioners are into shamanism. But
wow.
I'm so drawn to both that I've combined both practices into, what I do. There's a prominent energy medicine person in the United States called Donna Eden that wrote Energy Medicine and gives phenomenal workshops and classes and training. And it's all about energy medicine and how you can do these specific exercises every day to have all your energy systems moving in the right ways and all that. But it's totally divorced from any spiritual belief, any type of spiritual practice or ceremony. So combining the shamanism with the energy medicine kind of is the combination of the physical body and the spiritual body.
Wow. And you have to be very talented to do that.
I don't think really it's a matter of talent. I think one is that it's desire to learn it, and the other is to just tap in to it and to spend your time getting trained, by others, by books, by channeling your own information. Or there's so many different ways to learn how to do the practice.
You do channeling.
Well, when I say channel, it's just kind of like all shamanic people have
a connection.
Whole staff of spirits that they work with.
Uh-huh.
And they may be like power animals, and they may be human type spirits, but there's all different spirits, and they work with specific ones for specific reasons. And so when I say channeling, it's not in the psychic form of, I leave my body and I allow somebody to talk through me. But when I say this, I mean I'm getting information or wisdom from the spirits that I work with.
So it's geared a little more intuitive.
Yeah, it's intuitive. And it's like, and in shamanic practice, the shaman never has the power. They are always saying, I am the hollow bone. In other words, the spirits are working through the shaman. This because it's the healing spirits that have all the wisdom and know intuitively what's wrong. And so you as a practitioner will tap in to this information that's coming from the spirit world and work with the client on that level.
Yeah, there were a couple of things though on your list. I'm gonna seem like I'm beating you up, but I'm not.
No, that's fine.
No, because a lot of people that are out there that send us in emails and everything, and you were a very special one on a lot of lists. Right now, Australia has they're wailing. They love you.
Oh, really?
So you're doing very, very well, Dan.
Hi, mates. How you doing down there?
He says hello. Well, that's right. They'll probably say it. If you got your computer on, you just look at the chat box. It's full of
okay.
things coming through.
I'll definitely have to do that.
So anyway, here's something else they were interested in that have to do with you. Guiding people on journeys into their past lives, future lives. So When you usually hear about past life regression, we're talking about where you were or whom you were or maybe, you know, what you came from. But you talk about future. You're going in the other direction, or you can go in the other direction.
Absolutely.
So if you can go forward, could you actually tell someone where they're going to be and what they're going to be doing next week, a year from now, 10 years from now?
Well, I would never tell them. They would be the one that would travel there. They're the one that has that information. Because, you know, when we're incarnated on the earth, we bring only part of our energy here. And part of it always stays in the between lives. So there's a specific part of the soul, or whatever you want to call it, that's always living in the spirit world. And that part of the soul is very wise. It has all the memories from the past lives. It has all the memories of the future lives. And it can tap into the Akashic Records. So it's almost all completely wise. And if you can tap into that energy, you can yourself travel to a future life.
One of my guests sent me a book about the Akashic Records, and I tell you, that's going to be one book that I'm just waiting for the time that I can like sit down for about 4 or 5 or 6 hours and just keep reading.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to know. I'm sorry, you know. And anybody out there that is listening to this show right now, if you want to know, listen, just ask the questions. I'll get the answers. Anyway, getting back to Drake. The next thing was that came up on the list was soul retrievals. Now, let me just get this straight for a second. Someone had written me when we put on it, because you know it's been on my blog and everything all week. So, I mean, that's where the questions come from. But retrievals, meaning like you lose your soul for a while and you have to reel them back?
Well, you don't lose the entire soul. But you will lose fragments of it. And usually what happens is if you are in a traumatic situation, a lot of times you'll take a piece of your soul and you'll cast it into a place to keep it safe so that it's not with you, per se. In addition, there are also people that can take pieces of your soul. In other words, if you have like a really intense love relationship and that ends and that person still has an attachment to you, they might take a piece of that soul and keep it because they don't want to lose you. So what the shaman does is travels to non-ordinary reality, travels and to get those pieces, the pieces that are ready to come back, and brings them back to the client and, you know, blows them back into the body so that those missing pieces can be integrated into the energetic body of the client.
And a lot of people don't even understand what a soul is. They only know it from a religious side. They don't know the soul is energy. It's real.
Right, and so the soul is energy. We are all energy. That's what we are made of. And the reason why we feel ourselves in a physical body is because we're very dense energy here. But the energy on the other side of the veil is very high vibration. So it's not like something that you can see, but it's definitely something that you can feel. And the soul, being energy, made of energy, can never be destroyed. It can never be created or destroyed. It just already is and will always be in some form. It can transform, but will always be in some form.
So that means that when I had my accident and I had my NDE, I could have actually, for some reason or another, given away to, let's call it a lockbox, and just put my soul away in that for a little while until I got back on my feet again.
Absolutely. And that would be like a prime example of where if you're feeling disconnected, if you're feeling like you're not completely yourself, you don't have the energy that you think that you ought to, or there's just things that are on your mind and you're just like, there's something not right, then you can go for a consultation with a shamanic practitioner and say, you know, I had this really traumatic event, and, you know, can you look at this with me and see? do I need to bring back some soul pieces to reintegrate? Because I'm ready now. I'm ready to heal. I'm ready to be whole again. Can we bring these pieces back?
Is there an age? You know, like in other words, like young kids don't lose their souls, or middle age don't lose their souls. I mean, is there a time or a time in your life when you can or cannot lose your soul?
No, I don't think so. I think anybody is subject at any age, and as a matter of fact, young kids are so in touch with their spirit and their souls that they're way more in touch than we are. We're just not aware of it. But even before language is there, they have past life memories. They know that they're very attached to spirit. And so they're also very subject to losing pieces of their energetic soul when they are in a trauma situation. And they do that for preservation, for survival.
Hmm. Do you work with crystal children or indigos?
No, I have not been working with children at all, so I don't have any experience.
Yeah, those are spirits and those are souls that are pretty interesting. It's really interesting.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm reading this book right now called Children's Past Lives. And by Carol Bowman, and it's just the most amazing concept of how these kids come into this life, you know, into families that have no concept about reincarnation, and they're talking about past lives, and many times these can actually be proven to be true, and they're just so tapped in at that age before, you know, their programming starts to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very close to having been in the spirit world, and the memories are very much on the surface.
In Mexico, when you were there, did you work with shaman there?
Well, we did. Actually, we did ceremony with an Aztec shaman in Mexico City.
Yeah,
which was very powerful. He had amazing energy. And then we also met with some Maya shamans in Palenque and went into the jungle to one of their spiritual sites and did a ceremony there. So it was really amazing. But then, you know, we also traveled to many Maya ruins, many of the sites there, including Chichen Itza. And this was like 2 months before December 12, 2012, and you could just feel a lot of the spirits coming in, getting ready for this event, and there was a lot of spiritual activity going on, and you could just really tap into that vibration.
Yeah, we had a Mexican guide when I was down there the last time, and we were on a bus, and we were driving to Chichen Itza, and we're driving there, and she's talking about it and everything else, and I called it Itchy Chicken. Well, you saw the whole bus was on the floor. It was like, he must be an American.
Yeah.
And an American from the New York area. Forget about it. I mean, that's, oh boy, I tell you. I was, no wonder I wasn't thrown out in the jungle. You know, people don't realize there really is a jungle there. It is. You have to walk through the jungle to get to the pyramids.
Yeah, absolutely. We went to one where we had to take like a two-hour bus ride on a dirt road, and then we took an hour ride on a boat to get to this site, and it was quite isolated, right on the border of Guatemala and Mexico.
Yeah, you were way south.
Very, very powerful.
It's 100 degrees during the day, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, forget it. We went to the gods' shrine of the Coca-Cola during the tour. Oh yeah, definitely. That had a lot of Coca-Cola. But anyway, getting back to, I'm telling you that, you know, people listen to this show only because of the plain fact is the way we put it out to people. They can really they'll all be on Google when we're done. Trust
well, that's
me on
good.
That
that's good, because it would be really great if somebody just takes something away from me, you know?
Oh, yeah, they do. definitely. You had, now this is one that kind of sort of I was really, really interested in. Entity extractions. Is that anything like exorcism?
Well, that would be kind of like a negative connotation of it. There are many different forms of entities, and a shamanic practitioner is trained to do those extractions. So there can be like, you know, those people like they call ghosts and poltergeists and stuff. There
are
these people that wander in the fourth dimension that don't quite go to the light.
The dark people.
And yeah, absolutely. So you can take on one of those entities if you're vibrating at the same energetic level. And once again, you'll not be feeling yourself, you know, and they have an influence on you. So a practitioner can extract those. But there's also the other entities such as lower energetic level, elemental type energies. And there's also crystal energies that are resident in the energy body. So if you've, you know, died from a traumatic death such as being hacked to death or run through with a sword or shot with the gun or whatever, these many times leave a crystallized energetic wound in the energy body, and that comes with you through many lifetimes. So a shamanic practitioner knows how to extract those as well. And a lot of times those manifest in this lifetime as pains in the body, as problems, physical problems. They can even be showing up as birthmarks or disabilities in some forms.
Wow.
So a shamanic practitioner and a hypnotherapist as well are both trained to be able to do extractions on that type of energy.
And that's something that, like, for instance, say someone has a pain, say, in the stomach or something. They could have been somebody in another lifetime that had been shot or stabbed in the stomach.
Absolutely.
It's just energy.
There's no physical reason for, or even if there is a physical reason, I mean, it might have manifested as a physical thing, because really what happens is the wound or the damage is first appears in the energetic body, and then if it's not dealt with at that level, it will sink into the physical body and it will manifest as a disease or an injury or some other form.
Yeah, you know what? Here's one for you. A lot of people that have back problems, or they have, for instance, elbow problems and things. These are things that we could have actually had in another lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in other words,
absolutely.
There could be a physical reason, but it's even worse because we probably had the same thing again and we only repeated whatever the accident was in this lifetime from another lifetime.
Yeah, and really getting to the source of something is like peeling an onion, right? It's a layer after layer. So the first layer is you would always have it checked out physically with your medical doctor, right? And if they couldn't find the solution to it, then you would start looking at other reasons. Is it emotional? Do I need to see a therapist? Is it spiritual? Do I need to see a shaman? You know, so you just keep on working it until finally the solution is solved. I mean, it's not there anymore. And then you say, oh, okay, that's what it was. But there are many children even that have past life memories, and they have like maybe eczema in certain spots on the body. And it'll be recurring until they resolve, they re-experience that traumatic death. Perhaps they were shot right there where that eczema is, and then it'll just miraculously clear up. Well, then you know, okay, this was totally related to a past life.
So this actually, now I'm really, really going to point on one here. This actually takes religion out of a lot of things that we believe.
Well, I guess
actually,
it depends on which religious practice you're talking about.
Let me step back a little bit. We're talking about commercial religion, like, for instance, the Catholics or the Baptists or whatever, you know, and that kind of thing. And that we have to go to church every Sunday, and you give your hour to the church. what you're doing and what even what I do, Annette, is something that it's a religion, it's a spiritualist feeling for yourself, about yourself, for the world, in a sense. That's 24/7.
Absolutely.
So there is a big difference in between, you know, the religion that we all see and hear and love when we're kids. Because, I mean, let's face it, I was an altar boy. I was almost a priest. I mean, it was like, as crazy as it is, that's where I was at that time in my life. But, you know, now, as I grow older, not because I grow older, but I think I might have grown wiser somewhere after my NDE and everything that came up after it. You come to a point in your life, Annette, where the spiritual part and the religion part and the belief part is 24/7.
Absolutely, and I really think that mine came from the feeling that, you know, because I was brought up Christian, that it's just going on Sunday for an hour wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to fulfill me, to explain everything that's happening, to deal with the concepts that were coming into me. So it's like when I started getting into the earth-based religions and studying like the Native American culture, where it is a 24/7, everything a Native American does is spiritual. If it's killing to eat, if it's you know, talking to another person, if it's the weather, everything is so spiritually based. And the Caro teach the same thing, is to be in right relationship, which is called Aini, and in right relationship with the earth and with the energy and with everyone else, because we're all connected. Once you start taking on these big spiritual concepts and working with them, it's kind of like the established religions, if you will, are not, they may not be fulfilling enough. And I'm not encouraging people to leave the church or anything,
no.
But I'm saying all of this can be overlaid on any belief system, really.
Yeah.
All these basic concepts. And all these basic concepts are in every religion, but a lot of it's been interpreted in many different ways.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with regular religion. I would never, you know, say anything about it. I'm a Roman Catholic and that myself, so I mean, hey.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the big but. And I know I've gotten hate mail, I tell you the truth, out of something I said. But the thing is, you believe in a religion. I mean, I actually taught other people how to speak Latin as altar boys. I actually taught kids how to do a whole mass in Latin. I loved it. It was beautiful. I mean, if you really get into the language and everything else, it's fantastic. But here's the but. If you had stocks in a company and the company went under or left or the CEO quit or something, would you take your money out of their stocks? Of course, everybody does. It goes on all over the world. Something goes wrong with a company, take your stockings out, go buy one that's doing good. Okay, so I tell everybody, look at it the other way around for your religion. When the Pope quits, I'm sorry, I pulled my stocks out. You know, it's not to say I don't believe in a religion. I do. But I took my, I believe in myself, the I am theory, better than the commercial, you know, religion part of it. Because God is everywhere. He's in you. He's with you right now. He's where you are right now. Energy is energy, period. What do you think about that one?
Well, I totally agree with you that God, if you want to use that term, I usually use spirit because it's such a loaded term.
No, well, I try to say it because everybody understands it. That's
okay. It definitely is energy, and it is in everything, and that's how there are those faiths or beliefs that say, you know, there are many gods. Actually, it's because everything is energy and everything is God. It's not that they don't believe that there is one God. Everything is one. It's all connected.
Exactly.
And when you boil it all down to all those faiths, when you boil them all down, the basic beliefs are all the same. But the way that they're interpreted and applied to a culture is what differs. And that's what causes the arguments and the wars and all that between us.
Oh, boy, that's another show.
I know, totally. You
and I could definitely go on that one. I know we could. But I'm every single time, I mean, really, I love talking about it because people are so dumb, you know? I mean, it's like, hey, I mean, come on, dudes, wake up.
You know what? I can bring this down to the thing about reincarnation is the fact is that there's polarities on this earth, and that is the reason for coming here. And so we can always say, okay, why was there a Holocaust? I mean, it's such a horrible thing, and how can people be like that, and blah, blah, blah. But I'm not saying that I believe that it should be that way, but there has to be polarities in order to learn a lesson. And when we come in into a lifetime at one extreme or another, it's learning what that side is. And my belief is that each time you come into a life, you might come a little less extreme on the ends and eventually come to a middle balance where you have finally learned the lesson. When you're completely balanced in the middle and you know what the extremes are, but you know the right place to be is perfectly balanced in the middle. And so we kind of really need those different things like wars and disagreements and all that on Earth in order to learn these lessons.
Yeah, so you're saying the same thing I usually say when I call the world, the Earth, a proving ground.
Yeah.
It's a learning. Yeah. It's a school. It's a giant school for the rest of the universe.
It's one of the hardest schools there is in the universe from my understanding of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so many people turn around and say, well, no, it's just, you know, this is just a regular life in it, and I got to go pick somebody up at volleyball practice. And I was like, okay. You know, sometimes you got to set aside a little bit of time, you know, for yourself and for the kids and sit down and turn off the TV. And even as I tell people all the time, like on Sundays, sit down, turn off the TV, listen to the show, because the people that are on the show, believe me, you know, you'll be Googling for the next week. For all the
subjects.
Well,
at least they'll be thinking about things.
But that's good. I want this.
Yeah.
We're in so many countries now, forget it. So we're waking up a lot of people, for sure. All right. You also have repairing and maintaining the aura, and you also have chakras.
Mm-hmm.
How are they broken?
Well, how are they broken? So, as you know, the aura and the chakras are energetic systems of your body. A chakra can become damaged, it can collapse, it can have a lot of gunk in it, it can be spinning in the wrong direction, so it can have all these energetic problems. And an energy medicine practitioner can come in and work on those, repair them. A lot of times it's an emotional reason, and going to back and doing emotional release from a traumatic experience helps to clear out all that gunk that's clogging up the energetic system. And then once that emotional release is complete, then the energy can be spun to be traveling in the right direction again, and to, you know, be spinning positively and be really healthy.
That is, can you read? Do you read auras?
Everybody kind of perceives energy differently. Some people are visual, they'll absolutely see it. That's like Donna Eden can absolutely see it.
Oh, yeah.
Some people kinesthetic. I'm more kinesthetic. I feel it. I either feel it or I just know it. It's like something just pops into your head and you're like, oh, okay. And then some people are very learning through hearing, so